Well, now we'll read together this evening from the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 11, where we'll read the first verse and then read on from verse 16 down to verse 11 in chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Verse 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but, as it were, foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed for evermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. May God bless to us that portion from his word. Now we have a text this evening, and I want you to look for that text at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, to the last words of verse 16, that I may boast myself a little. That I may boast myself a little. To say the least, it would appear to be significant that Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, uses the Greek word which is translated boast and boasting and glory and glorying 52 times in his epistles, whereas it is only used another 2 times in the whole of the New Testament. This surely points to the conclusion that the subject of boasting was very much in his mind, especially when he wrote that epistle to the Corinthians, part of which we earlier read together, in which so many of the occasions of boasting are recorded. A study of the many passages involved reveal teaching that's characteristic of Paul, and of Paul only in many aspects. And it gives us some idea of his conception of boasting, which is so different from the ordinary kind of boasting. And I feel that we each have something to learn from this, particularly in view of what Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:16, where he speaks of himself as being the outline or the sketch which other believers should seek to copy. On looking over the varying renderings in the different translations, it is found that the word most commonly used is boast, and next to that, glory. You'll have noticed perhaps in our reading how that many times the word glory and glorying appeared, and to be more correct, we might have substituted the words boast and boasting on each occasion. In Moffat's translation, the renderings are almost equally divided between boast and pride. In Conybeare and Weymouth's translation, almost exclusively, the word boast is used, while in the Authorized Version, the words joy and rejoice are the renderings of this very same word, which should be more properly always rendered boast. Now, in modern English, boasting is taken usually in a bad sense, and we feel concerning people whom we think of boasting that they are, should we say, top heavy. But it was entirely different in the usage of the Apostle Paul. And this will become clear as we study and as we turn to the various passages. No one could be more careful to distinguish between true and false boasting, or extol the true more highly and belittle and condemn the false more unsparingly than Paul. May we likewise learn to be as careful, both for ourselves, that whatever our boasting be, it might be a proper scriptural boasting, And when we have to deal with others who are boastful, that we should be able to assess them for what they really are. The only worthy boasting must be in the Lord. And if you'll turn to the scriptures, you'll see that the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31, writes, "According as it is written, he that boasteth," you'll find the word glorious in the Authorized Version, "he that boasteth, let him boast in the Lord." And that is repeated by him in the second epistle, chapter 10, verse 17. The only worthy boasting is in the Lord. I feel that we often fail. And we should look at the apostle, and we should see in him the sketch, the picture of what we ought to be. As we earlier said, he is set forth for us as an ensample of believers. And in this, we should seek to follow the outline sketch that he has left us, and for ourselves, in our own experience, to fill in the details. And in our boasting, make sure that we only boast in the Lord. It's so easy to boast in the flesh. It's so easy to boast of things and of matters pertaining to the flesh. But the Apostle Paul, who on several occasions quite clearly said that in these matters he spake no lie, he says that he boasted only in the Lord. Again we say, all that we could each follow him in that particular. And then, too, it's revealed in the scripture that he boasted in the blessings which come to us because of faith in Christ. Now, here again, we feel that if we could follow the Apostle Paul more closely in this particular, we should be found, shall we say, giving our testimony much more regularly. We receive blessings from the hand of our Lord day by day. Blessings that are founded upon the great experiences that come to us because of our faith in his sacrifice on our behalf. We should boast in these things, simply, naturally, making our boast in the Lord. It would be a giving of our testimony, not perchance in the ordinary fashion, but in recounting in simplicity the experience that has been ours. And this, I believe, in the scriptural sense, would be boasting in the Lord in respect of the blessings that have come to us through our faith in the work that he has accomplished for us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, the Apostle Paul writes, "We have access by faith and boast in hope of the glory of God." Now here is a great truth, expressed under the term of a boasting. He mentions first the great fact of access into the very presence of God by faith, and goes on to say, he boasts in hope of the glory to be. In the present, he knew that he had a clear approach in spirit to God. And as he in spirit thus approached God, he was able to boast in the hope that was his, of that future glory that he would enjoy. And again, at verse 11 in the same chapter, he writes, "We boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the reconciliation." And in chapter 15, still in the epistle to the Romans, chapter 15, verse 17, he writes, "I have whereof I may boast through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God." Again I ask, are we following the apostle in the example that he gives us of being a boaster in the true sense? be giving testimony by the recounting of the experience which is ours, in the telling forth of the very glory that's come to us, so that others might receive of the blessing. This apparently was the apostles' method. As you look at various other passages, we haven't time to look at them each tonight, 2 Corinthians 1:12, Galatians 6:14, which the most of you know quite well, where he says he glories or boasts only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians 1:26 and Philippians 3:3, the same attitude of boasting only in the blessings which are in the Lord is evident. Now, this is not the kind of boasting which ordinary men indulge in, and I'm afraid there are many believers who are really quite strangers to it. Now, I believe that the apostle can teach us how he was led into the experience of boasting only in the Lord and in the blessings which he received through faith in him. Of his birth, upbringing, and calling, which were of a high order, he might have boasted if he had been like some of his adversaries, whom he says in 2 Corinthians 11:18, boasted after the flesh. Thus he teaches us never to boast in any natural advantages which may have been in our background. If you'll care to look for the moment at Philippians chapter 3, you'll see how that whilst the apostle had much in which he could have boasted, he says most clearly that he counts all these things but loss. Philippians chapter 3, where, commencing at verse 4, he says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." What a background this man had. And yet he goes on to say, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." And so the Apostle Paul would teach us in the fact that he did not boast after the flesh, that we too should be careful not to bring the background of our lives and make it intrude into the things of the Spirit. Then again, we earlier read in our passage together of the many trials and sufferings that he bore. Trials and sufferings that were greater and more in number than those of most men. Yet, he would not boast in them. He would boast only, he said, in their results. The most remarkable experience which taught him how to do this was the one in connection with his thorn in the flesh, which resulted in his saying, at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, "Most gladly, therefore, because of the outcome of the trial, most gladly, therefore, will I boast in my infirmities, in order that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I feel we ought to stop here for a moment and think of this and try and relate it to ourselves. We've already made the point that the Apostle Paul did not boast in the flesh, did not boast in the background of the things that were merely of the flesh. Here he goes a step further, and he says that he gladly boasted in infirmities, in trials, and afflictions. I'm afraid very few of us have really got to that state. It's a difficult thing to do, made possible, I believe, only by the power of the Spirit as revealed to us through the Word. We read the catalogue of the sufferings, of the trials of the Apostle Paul, and how that, having received wondrous revelation from on high, he was made to suffer. A messenger of Satan was sent to him to buffet him. And there was driven through his flesh, not as we would imagine a thorn, but more really, as the word would mean, a stake. And he suffered. And because of his suffering, he besought the Lord that he might be delivered. And the Lord, in response, told the apostle that the grace that could be given would be sufficient for him. He learned his lesson. And from the intensity of the trial, he says, "Most gladly, therefore, most gladly, will I rejoice in infirmities and sufferings, if the result is going to be what God wants it to be." I wonder how many of us can glory or boast in our sufferings, in that same aspect as we look upon things. It's very difficult to see behind the trials and the afflictions and to assess those spiritual values that can accrue. The apostle was given grace to do that. And because he knew that by his bearing of the affliction there would be spiritual advantage, he says, "Most gladly, therefore, I'm willing to suffer these things." May the Lord help us to sing our hallelujahs when we are feeling most pain. May the Lord help us to smile most kindly when inwardly we are feeling very much the opposite from smiling. Most gladly, notice the word, to bear the affliction, in order that the result might be as God would have them to be. In the passage in 2 Corinthians 12, which we read together, there is revealed the secret of the inner spiritual life. And it is the secret of taking all things in the Lord, that even in respect of our boasting in the affliction, it might be in the Lord. The apostle boasts only when he is the dependent, receptive instrument of the Lord, as seen in that whole passage. And at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30, he says, "If I must needs boast, I will boast of the things which concern mine infirmities." And again, at Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5, quite a well-known passage to the most of you, he says, "Not only do we boast in the hope of the glory of God, but we boast in tribulations also." And then he goes on to detail the line of the experience which tribulation can bring. For he says, "Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, hope that maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost." There is a further feature in respect of this, and we see in the scripture that Paul didn't boast of himself personally. He states in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 5, "Of myself," of himself personally, "of myself I will not boast." And neither did he boast about his work. Will you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll read three verses from verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and at verse 14, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should so be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die, than that any man should make my boasting void. For though I preached the gospel, I had nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. And here the apostle reveals that though he knew himself to be a good preacher, and though he could write the message of the gospel and the message of God in good fashion, yet he didn't boast in this. He didn't boast in himself. He didn't boast in his work. So, our boasting, he says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12, our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience in simplicity and sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom. He didn't look at himself as a man whom God had chosen and whom God was using. He didn't look at his work, whether it was his preaching or his writing, and exalt himself because of these things. But he did see behind all this, and he said that he treated all these things concerning himself and his work with simplicity and sincerity. And he goes on to say that all this was by the grace of God. And of course, we know, every one of us, that it is only by the grace of God, as he, the apostle himself, also said, only by the grace of God that we are what we are. And so, whilst Paul refrains from boasting in himself or in his ministry of preaching or writing, he nevertheless boasts in the results of the work, in and for the Lord. For instance, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he writes this, what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our boasting and our joy. He wouldn't boast in the fact that he himself could preach well and get results. No, no. But he boasted in the results, that they were for the Lord, or that we might learn the lesson. And this leads us to consider a distinction that the apostle himself makes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21, the apostle lays down the general rule when he says, let no man boast in men. And yet, we find him testifying at 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4, great is my boasting in you. Now this seems very strange. On the one hand, he says, let no man boast in men. And yet, a little while later, writing to men, he says, our boasting is in you. It seems that he's contradicting himself. But if you look more closely, you'll find this, that when he says, let no man boast in men, he's referring to unregenerate men, men who, he says, by worldly wisdom would seek to defile and destroy the work of God. And when he says, on the other hand, my boasting is in you, he's referring to those who are in the Lord. So we've got to make a distinction. We've got to see to it that we get our boasting, as it were, in the right angle, in the right direction. And as we said at the beginning, all true boasting must be in the Lord, whether it's in respect of ourselves or our service or the results of our service. There's no use our boasting in men as men, but we can boast in men who are in the Lord. We can boast in the results that accrue from a faithful preaching of the Word of God. Now again, the apostle claims that his boasting was reasonable and didn't exceed the limits. If you care, you could read 2 Corinthians 10, verses 8, 13 and 15. We might just turn to those. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 8, 13 and 15. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. Verse 13, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. And again at verse 15, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labours, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. In chapter 11, verse 10, somewhat similar words, he says, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have boasting in himself alone, and not in another. So the apostle makes quite sure, and claims that his boasting was not unreasonable. He speaks of the fact that those things and those persons in whom he boasts were indeed his rightfully to boast in. Thus it was that Paul, on principle, avoided centres of service where others had been working. And he says in Romans 15, verse 20, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. And he disclaims merit for what he'd been able to accomplish, when he writes at 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. From the words of 1 Corinthians 4:7 and 5:6, where he says, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou boast as if thou hadst not received it? And he said, your boasting is not good. From this it appears that the apostle could be quite severe upon worldly boasting. And whilst we think of him as boasting after the godly fashion, it's good that we should take to heart this, that if we indulge in a wrongful boasting, we put ourselves definitely in the wrong. And we can do much damage by a boasting that is inconsistent with a real Christian testimony. And the apostle said some strong words about such people who claimed what they couldn't prove and who sought to exhort themselves. And as such in the scripture, not only the apostle, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself said that such as would exalt themselves would be put down, but those who would humble themselves should be exalted. It might seem strange that the Apostle Paul speaks thus of boasting, and yet at the same time he was a man, I believe, of deep humility. In this, he was a follower of the Lord. He himself claims that when he to others writes, be ye followers of me as I am of the Lord. And we might ask the question, can we find in the experience of the Lord this same spirit of boasting? The Apostle Paul said he boasted. Then we ask again, can we find that similar spirit of boasting in the Lord? Yes, I think we can. You remember how that the Lord Jesus Christ makes claims that are in the nature of those things. He says, for instance, I am the light of the world. I wonder what the people who stood around him really thought of him when he said that. Again, he said, I and my Father are one, making himself to be equal with God. I'm sure that the people round about him would certainly think that he was boasting. And then again, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he seems to make it all the more worse by saying, no man can get to God but by me. It was a spirit of boasting, not in the wrongful sense, a boasting in solid truth. And I suppose that the apostle must have caught the Spirit of the Lord in this very thing. And he is able to boast, not in the flesh, not in himself, not in the things that he did, but in the results that accrued to the glory of God. He boasted in solid truth. And I think that we should seek to do the same. And so, let's just gather up the principle of the boasting. The Apostle Paul said in that verse that we took as our text this evening that he wanted to boast. Well, now, I wonder whether we can't take that same attitude. And knowing the real background of true godly glorying or real boasting, that we should see to it that we boast only in the Lord. Not in the flesh. Not in ourselves. Oh, it's so easy to do it. It's so easy to become exalted in one way or another. All that we could subdue self. And see that in and through the scripture, there's revealed to us the way in the which, with the subduing of self, we shall be enabled to boast in solid truth. In the Lord. In the results that that truth brings. In those matters which bring blessing to others. So that we might have, as the Apostle Paul says, somewhat to boast in. May God enable us that our glorying might be for his glory.